Hi, this is Nadine Dietz, host of CMO Moves. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thanks so much for stopping by today and to give you a quick overview on what to expect. CMO Moves is all about game-changing leaders, their incredible journeys, the moves that they've made, and most importantly, their personal stories of how they got to be the leaders of some of the world's most exciting brands. I hope you'll enjoy their stories as much as I do and take away a few tips and some inspiration for your day. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to CMO Moves. Today I have a wonderful guest. I'm so excited. It is Kara Golden, who is the CEO of Hint, who is also a fellow podcaster and the author of a brand new book. So Kara, hi and welcome to CMO Moves.
Hi, thanks for having me. Nadine? You were just talking about names.
Yes.
Pronunciations. So I love it. I like that pronunciation way better.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. It is funny. You know, you were right. We were just talking about that. Like, I've been calling you Kara all this time because I use soft A's, and yet your name is Kara. And a lot of people call me Nadine with that hard A, but actually my name is Nadine, but people don't actually know that. So, yeah. So we can be here, yin and yang. You're Kara, I'm Nadine. So welcome. Excellent. Well, hey, so I have so many questions for you. I mean, you, first of all, just blow me away with how much you've accomplished in your career and everything you did to build Hint to where it is today. But also you have this podcast and you have a new book that just came out. So let's start with those two things. Tell me about your podcast and the book, and then let's talk about Hint and where that came from.
Yeah. So the podcast is called Unstoppable with Kara Golden. And it really stemmed out of the fact that I felt like I would meet so many different great people, innovators and disruptors and people that are doing amazing stuff in, you know, their sort of category or industry. And so, you know, everybody from Maria Shriver and people like Marion Nestle. Do you know Marion? She used to be with the FDA, and now she actually is a Bay Area resident and talks a lot about food and things that you should be aware of. And then there's lots of other great entrepreneurs. And then my book is actually not out until October. I'm finishing it up right now. It's going to print, though I'm adding sort of a chapter on this whole last couple of months. But it's called Undaunted. And the real kind of purpose of it was to talk about, you know, so many people I meet along the way have walls up in front of them that are really difficult to break down. And I've thought about this for years, that the longer you continue to talk about things, often the higher your walls will get around you, right? Like you build up this fear. And so I've had this theory that at some point you just have to get over it, or you have to break the walls down. And the way to break those walls down is just to go try and just see what happens. And I may fail and that'll be okay, but I'll have a story along the way to kind of say, here's what's happened. And so I think that I've met a lot of people along the way who have done sort of a similar thing. I talk about actually in one of the beginning chapters about how I actually got my first job. So for all you soon to be graduates out there, I graduated from college in a year that was considered really tough to go get a job. And I ended up buying a plane ticket from Arizona, where I grew up, to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, and New York. And back then we had travel agencies. And so my travel agent came back and told me that with all these legs over a 3-week period, it would be $472 for the ticket. And I was like, really? And so I quickly gave her my credit card, thinking that it was probably a mistake. And I ended up having 90 job interviews. And it's sad that I didn't keep total track of it, but I think it was close to 60 job offers, like, you know, executive assistant, analyst, all these different entry-level jobs. But I'm a huge believer that if you just go out and do it and not let the noise get in your way, then lots of great things will happen. So the book is a little bit of, autobiography, tiny bit, but it really is about hopefully motivating people to just say, hey, if that lady can go do that, why can't I?
Yeah, very exciting. And I am not at all surprised about your titles of your podcast or your book, Unstoppable and Undaunted. That really pretty much packages you up, I think, because when I think about your journey.
Oh, that's and how, so nice.
Yeah, no, I'm super inspirational. When we had you at the CMO Moves Summit West, and you told your story there about how you got started, and no matter what anybody threw at you, how you found such creative and very humorous ways to tackle all the problems. And you know, it's interesting, you mentioned a few things there, and the reasons why you enjoy some of your guests, what you're excited about talking about. And I mean, you covered everything from, you know, health conditions to food safety to how to survive in a crisis. And you yourself are actually doing a lot in all those areas. So I want to just kind of tease here that we're going to talk about how you're actively involved in Washington, D.C. now yourself, how you're really trying to tackle and provide solutions for health challenges. But before we do that, let's start with where it all began. Because like you said, you were not in the water business before this, and you just had this epiphany one day, right?
Yeah. So I was, right before starting this company, I was at America Online, and actually started there really, really early, dating myself. But I was with a tiny little startup in Silicon Valley that was a spin out of Apple. America Online was an investor, and they ended up acquiring our company like 6 months after I'd gotten there. So suddenly I'm asked to commute from San Francisco to Virginia, where they were based, and basically run this thing called shopping. It was like a channel. Didn't even have like any budgets that I was supposed to hit. It was like, again, like do your best and see what happens. Anyway, 7 years later, it was $1 billion to AOL. And I'm, you know, running this company, the United Airlines pilots that, you know, I was on my plane every week, my United flight from San Francisco to Dulles, and they all knew me. And I thought, like, this is just not a way to live. Like, I'm exhausted. I had gained a bunch of weight. My skin was like breaking out all the time. And I thought, what is wrong with me? Like there's something, I'm just not healthy. And so when I left AOL, I'd had three kids at that point, or actually two, and I was pregnant with my third. I really started to think like, while I'm taking some time off, I'm going to really look at my own like life, and I'm going to start running. And I'm going to start shopping at this store that was fairly new to the Bay Area called Whole Foods. And I thought, if I shop at Whole Foods, I'm actually going to be really, really healthy. And that didn't work. So one day, after I'd been reading labels for a few months, I looked down at my favorite friend, which was a can of Diet Coke. And I realized that I was putting this in my body every single day, and I had never paid attention to how many ingredients was in the Diet Coke. And I didn't really think that there was anything wrong with it, but I thought, I don't know, I'm going to stop drinking it for a couple of weeks and just see what happens. And for those first, like those couple of weeks, it was like really bad headaches. I felt like I had the flu. It was like crazy. And, you know, I look back on it now and I was going through withdrawals. Like I had, you know, between 8 and 12 Diet Cokes a day. But anyway, after dropping it for 2 weeks, I swapped it out for plain water, and I recognized that the reason I didn't drink water was not because I didn't aspire to be a water drinker, but because I found water very boring. But I was willing to do it for a couple of weeks just to see what would happen. So in 2.5 weeks, just by swapping out the Diet Coke for plain water, I lost 24 pounds.
Oh my God.
And my skin cleared up immediately, and my energy levels came back. And so, I don't know, it was probably 4 months later after I was, you know, kind of on this program, I started slicing up fruit that was on my counter and throwing it in. And I thought, this is perfect. Like, why can't we make a drink that just has fruit in it? And I went back to my local Whole Foods and talked to the guy there. And, you know, he pointed out to another product called Vitamin Water that is actually now owned by Coca-Cola. But it was at that time, they didn't even have a diet version of Vitamin Water. This was, you know, 16 years ago now. And so I thought, maybe if I just develop this drink, even if it ends up just sitting in my own like kitchen and pantry, and maybe I give it away to friends or whatever. And so I think, you know, it was about a year that I was sort of like making it in my kitchen and then figuring out like I couldn't just drop raspberries into the water for a long period of time. And so I had all these experiments. I sort of like made this concoction that I thought, wow, this is amazing. No preservatives in it, no sweeteners in it. And I'm like, I should just go do this and bottle it. And so that's what I did. And I told the story at your summit that, you know, I ended up launching it on the day that I was delivering my fourth child. I thought, why not go into labor with, you know, having a baby on the shelf at Whole Foods and while I go into labor. So, you know, that's a story in and of itself. But yeah, I mean, you know, fast forward, we're going on 15 years and next month, you know, my son, Justin, I always remember how old Hint is because I can't forget his birthday, and it's May 27th. And so that was the day that we got on the shelf at Whole Foods. And I, you know, it's, we're now the largest independent non-alcoholic beverage in the country that doesn't have a relationship with Coke, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper Snapple. And, you know, whether that be an investment or distribution. And we're, in addition to being in lots and lots of stores throughout the U.S., and we can talk a little bit more about this, but we also did something a few years ago that I think was, you know, considered stupid in many, many people's minds, that after the last 2 months, I think more people are saying that it was awesome and brilliant, or I don't know what they're saying, but which is our direct-to-consumer business. And so that direct-to-consumer business prior to this whole COVID-19 pandemic was about 40% of our overall business. You know, easily this year, it will be well over 50% of our overall business. And I think it's you know, it really speaks to what I've always believed, which is that the consumer ultimately makes the decisions as to where they're going to purchase your product, right? And the minute that you start to dictate that, then you lose, right? And so for us, we have always believed, like, we had started out on our e-commerce adventure with Amazon. And, you know, the key thing, we love Amazon, but the key thing that we realized about them, and again, I had, you know, sort of dealt with them when I was at AOL, was that their data, basically, in selling our product, their customer data is their data. It's not our data. And so, you know, just like when Whole Foods sells a consumer case of Hint, we don't actually know who that person is. We can see regional data, but we're not actually seeing, you know, who that person is. And so we really decided a few years ago that we're not competing with them. We're just giving consumers another option, and an option where they're really going to be able to, you know, see exactly all of the great stuff that we're doing. We do things like, you know, limited edition smash ups, we call them, that, you know, really is like truly a few thousand cases and then they're gone. And we ended up launching a few years ago sunscreen and deodorant. And so, you know, the vision for Hint has always been about health. It started with my health. And then, you know, we ventured into, we're a bigger platform now that actually just helps other consumers get health in other areas as well.
Yeah. Well, amazing. Again, unstoppable and undaunted by any of the obstacles in your way. You launched an incredibly successful business. And also, you know, what's interesting is I remember at the summit, you were sharing how your husband got involved in the business. So I'm going to come back to that because that was a very funny story. But with what we're all going through right now, which is the pandemic, you were telling me a little bit about how just when all this started happening, you had another one of your aha moments. Tell me about that.
Well, I remember March 13th, I was actually in New York shooting my cover for my book. And right after the shoot, I got on the plane and got some text from my kids were starting to come home from school. They're away at university. And they were like, hey, can you stop on the way home from the airport? Can you stop and get a couple of things? I'm like, sure, no problem. And so I stopped at a Target. And I noticed that a bunch of our product was out of stock. And I was really surprised. And I asked one of the managers if it was in the back room and hadn't been brought out. And he said, no, you know, people have really been hoarding, you know, different products and, you know, we're all out of stock and hopefully we'll get some in next week. And so I called our head of sales and I'm like, hey, what's going on? You know, and he's like, I don't know, like, you know, they're on auto replenishment. It should be going off of register data. And so I stopped at another store on the way home just to check. And again, it was out of stock. And I started freaking out thinking, you know, this is really bad. Like if people are actually hoarding, you know, we have plenty of stock. And so why isn't it actually getting to the shelf? And so that weekend, we acted really fast and went back to a lot of these buyers and said, look, you know, we've identified that there seems to be kind of an issue, at least regionally. We haven't sort of looked everywhere, but we're sending our teams out this weekend to look. And I've always had this theory that it's really annoying when you have somebody come up to you and like tell you that there's a problem. And then they don't actually tell you, give you some sort of, you don't have to take their idea of what, or, you know, their recommendation on a solution, but at least trying, right? To sort of give you some options on sort of how to solve the problem. And so our team ended up saying, hey, look, there is a problem, but a solution is we'll send in a truckload of product tomorrow or Monday if you, you know, if you need it. And a lot of people took us up on it. And while they were trying to figure this, their, you know, systems, the software was doing something, they were just overwhelmed. And so I think we really benefited because there were so many products that were out of stock. But basically, in addition to sort of really watching exactly what was going on in stores and trying to provide a quick solution for these retailers, we also received calls from Costco and as well as the big military buying, which is DECA. And one of the first questions out of their mouth was, do you guys actually produce everything in the US? And the answer is yes. We've always believed from a, you know, carbon footprint sustainability standpoint that, you know, let's even if it's a little bit more expensive, it's just, you know, easier, A, to know what we're getting, and B, it's much more reliable, especially in the times of a pandemic. So so not only were we able to, you know, keep stock levels, you know, high because it was just coming from the US, but also I think we were able to, you know, really benefit because our entire supply chain is here in the US. And you know, our belief, we're only in the US right now. Our belief is if we go into another country, we want to do the exact same thing. We want to source the fruit from that country. We want to use the workforce. You know, we really want to be as local as possible. So I think that, you know, that from a brand standpoint, I think it's something that all brands, if you're not already thinking about that, you should be thinking about that. Especially for brands that are, you know, food brands that are trying to raise money. I think that that's probably going to be a big, you know, venture question for you. But so that was, you know, sort of a, like, I had no crystal ball to say that there was going to be a pandemic, but you know, I think we handled, there were a lot of things that we had done right from a supply chain standpoint. And then obviously our direct to consumer business. I mean, that business is up over 100% over plan right now. So for the year, which is crazy. But, you know, I'll also say that, you know, when we think about our business as the direct to consumer and then the retailers, as I said, like the Targets of the world, and then food service. And so what's happened to food service, obviously, you know, has just gone down for everybody. And we have a ton of business in corporations like Google and Facebook. And it's not really clear, you know, even when the shelter in place, stay at home initiatives are lifted, you know, how many people are going to come up? Are they going to do it in waves or what exactly happens? So for us, you know, thank God we had a direct to consumer business already set up, because I think that it would have been a very, very different, you know, scary time for us if we didn't. And then I think like the other piece of it too, is I mentioned we're a, you know, essential product, which is great. But if I had, you know, all of my, when this all started and they were saying, okay, essential products are prioritized over other products, and not only from a getting on the trucks for distribution from our, you know, distribution centers, but also companies like Amazon, for example, like the number of food and beverage companies that I hear from them that, oh yeah, you know, why would you set up your own direct to consumer business? Like, why don't you just ship everything through Amazon? Again, Amazon's amazing and they're really great, but if you're not an essential product during this time, I mean, you could go from like getting your product to the consumer in a few days to a few weeks. So we were really early on making sure that Amazon knew that even though we were flavored water, we were actually a water and we are considered essential. And so acting as partners and sort of saying like, where are your pain points? Like, what's really hard for you? And let us see if we can solve that problem for you. And then we'll figure out exactly, you know, how to move forward later, but let's just get through this together. I think it's just a message that just never goes away, no matter how big you are.
Yeah. And we do hear that now all the time, which is amazing. I think we started a Brands Together channel for brands to come and work together on these very types of problems. And it's been amazing the ideas that have been generated in there. One of the topics that they are tackling is something that you and I have talked about before. And it was about this notion around, on the one side, when you and I were talking about water being essential and how you're helping programs everywhere, especially with cancer patients, but also down into the school systems that don't actually have clean water. And some of the statistics you gave me were shocking. So I want you to share that. But coupled with this initiative around fueling kids, which is the fact that there are so many children in our country, all over the world for that matter, but here in our country, in our backyard, that don't actually get any food or water or any kind of nourishment or supplies when they leave school on Friday afternoon until they come back on Monday morning, because the school system is their primary provider. And now with the schools being shut down, schools actually have to still stay open to be able to provide these services. Yeah. Yeah. To the kids. They have to figure out how to get to the schools. There's bus drivers being deployed and nobody is really, and that's unfair to say nobody else. Say, it just seems like no one's talking about it. And yet we all need to be talking about it. It's a big part of our country that is suffering from the inability to access good food and clean water. And so I feel like it's become a heightened issue now and it's going to be worse moving forward. Let's just quickly start with what you were working on before this pandemic hit.
So basically I, you know, caught wind of this whole issue around clean water as, you know, as I mentioned, we have 8 different plants throughout the US and we don't use preservatives in our product. We use super high filtration in the product before it actually is even like gets to the point of going through, you know, the pasteurization system and getting bottled. And so we get a report on water and, you know, in the eight different the plants, it's all different. Like I've noticed that again, like I came into this industry, not really like not having experience. And so I was just kind of getting educated, but also fascinated by how the water varied greatly in different parts of the country. And so, you know, I used to see points like, you know, I'd always seen points of like lead levels and arsenic and copper and some other stuff. But recently, I also started seeing things, or another thing that came up, and I was curious, like, what it was. I guess it was probably 3-4 years ago that when we really started seeing it measured, but it's called PFAS, which is, there's a movie that's out called Dark Waters that was out at the end of last year that really talks a lot about this. And essentially, it was if you think about Teflon in the pan, it's sort of a plastic. And, you know, it ended up, the movie was all about these lawsuits that were, that are currently in place. And so PFAS is the, you know, the name for this product, this Teflon-like plastic that was dumped into the water. So what's wrong with PFAS is it's known by the NIH and the Center for Disease Control as a known carcinogen and at any level. And so I started really like getting concerned about the fact that, you know, my kids were going to school when they didn't have a Hint bottle, they were just like filling up their, you know, bottle, whatever they had with, you know, water from the tap. And I started like really getting kind of concerned about like what exactly, you know, is in their water. And so I figured though that it must be regulated, right? Like our plants are regulated. So why isn't it, you know, there has to be somebody regulating it. And so it ends up that our water supplies are all regulated at the state levels. And so, so the states are responsible for measuring this. And many of them, many of them actually don't measure. It's about 60% of the states actually measure. So 40% are not measuring. But of the 60% that actually measure, there's all kinds of problems in the systems in the measurement. For example, if you if you end up testing a certain number of your drinking fountains at your kids' schools and they pass, then that's considered a pass, right? And so you could have like, I can't remember the exact number, but I think it's if you have like 80% of your fountains actually pass, then the other, you know, 20% that don't pass, it still allows you to get a pass. And so I started thinking like, gosh, so that means like if the drinking fountain in the first and second grade, you know, quarters, like they, what if they have lead? Does anybody tell them? Do they shut off the drinking fountains? I mean, what exactly happens? And the answer is nothing. Nothing happens. So I again started getting a little angry about this, and I called the EPA, and I really wanted to be told that I was wrong about this. And, you know, the response back was that it's at the state levels, et cetera. And so, and that the EPA as a, you know, national organization does not do anything about it. And I just like really, really thought like, this is just nuts. And we have, you know, like I said, the FDA and looking at our bottles and, you know, and most like, I just thought that the fact that people get free access to drinking fountains should be a human right, right? And it should be clean water. And, you know, it's like one thing to go out and buy a bottle of water or a bottle of Hint or whatever, but it's like another thing that no one's telling you that you're drinking, you know, water out of a drinking fountain and it could have, you know, PFAS or lead or like, where are the ingredients list, right? And so one day I ended up, talking to our congresswoman from the Bay Area, Congresswoman Jackie Speier. And so we ultimately decided to partner up at the end of last year to draft a bill that will go before Congress. Unfortunately, between the impeachment hearings and, you know, the COVID-19 stuff, it's been put on hold a little bit. Our hope is that by summer, we're able to, you know, get this bill into place where we're able to take it before Congress. But I want to kickstart it because I think that people need to be made aware of it, and hopefully we'll do something where we can take it to Congress and ultimately get it fixed.
Yeah. Wow. You know, ever since I talked to you about this the first time, I've been thinking about it a lot. And unfortunately, we are out of time today. Yeah. So we are going to have to follow up, like you said, and see how much progress that you're able to make, because you are, again, unstoppable and undaunted. And I'm glad somebody is leading the charge on this, because it's so important for all of us. And, you know, the whole money question always pains me, because if you think about the fortunes that will be lost later fighting diseases that were gained through inactivity in addressing this, and the pain and the heartache. I mean, we've all been losing loved ones, have lost loved ones, will lose loved ones. And in my opinion, it's, yeah, no money covers that. So, Kara, thank you so much for being with me today. I can't let you leave actually without my now famous last question. So this is how we're going to wrap this up, and then we're going to come back and go deeper, and we'll have to get that story about your husband in here too on the next one. But if money and talent were of no object, I'm almost scared to ask you this question now. All you had, all of those things in spades, and you can't say what you're doing now, that's not an okay answer, what would you be doing? Anything in the world.
Anything in the world. Helping people.
That is kind of what you're doing already. So,
yeah, I mean, I am, but I think there's so much to be done around changing people's knowledge of what ultimately allows them to be healthy. I've never heard people talk about health so much as I have over the last 6 weeks going through COVID-19. So I'm hopeful that people really recognize that you can't play Russian roulette with your body system. You know, it's a, you know, machine that really needs care, right? And that can be what you're putting into your body, what you're putting on your body, your mental health, all of these things are really part of that. So I think for me, it's a little bit of what I've been doing, but I think it's expanding and more knowledge-based moving on and also just, you know, inspiring, hopefully, to tell people that just go do it, go try things.
Yeah. Well, absolutely wonderful to hear from you and all the amazing things that you're doing. You obviously are helping tons already. I'm sure there's a lot more to be heard in the podcast that you have, Unstoppable, and can't wait to read your new book coming up. So, Kara, thank you so much for joining me. This has been really delightful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, I would love your help in sharing CMO Moves with one of your friends or colleagues who you think might enjoy it too. And if you have time, I would really love your review or ratings on Apple or SoundCloud. So thanks again, and have a great day.